We are in our 2025, the year of all in. Month of January is our month of ain't no half stepping. I need some folks that's gonna be with me in this season. I need to make sure you all in. We talked about that yesterday. It's going all in with God means that I don't have nothing left. There's a story of a man that talked to God and asked him to give him something, and God showed him his pockets and said, I've given all I have. Y'all don't want to hear me. He says, I gave you my only begotten. Y'all don't want to talk to me. Let's go to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 8. Judges chapter 8. I'm going to commence, conclude, and climax in the fourth verse. Judges chapter 8. Verse 4. Judges chapter 8, verse 4. 1. I'm reading from the Good News Translation. And it says this. It says, by this time, Gideon and his 300 men had come to the Jordan River and crossed it. This is our spotlight of the text today. They were exhausted, but were still pursuing the enemy. Let me read that last part one more time. They were exhausted, but still were pursuing the enemy. I want to talk from this thought today. Ain't no quitting me. Ain't no quitting me. As we've entered this new year, we entered it with great expectations of what God could do. We prepared resolutions in 24. We prepared declarations in 24. We prepared our minds for what the great things that 25 was going to bring. But sometimes it feels like God serves you stuff that wasn't on your menu to pick from. I'm going to work out. I'm going to walk. I'm going to eat better. I'm going to stop drinking after a certain time. I'm going to stop eating after a certain time. The things that I'm doing that I shouldn't do, I'm not going to stop all of them. I'm going to slow down and write down how I'm going to slow down. And you've 5 days in, and it seems like God has, come here, Job, removed your hedge of protection. And some stuff you said bye-bye to in 24 found you in 25. I've been inundated in the last 4 days with phone calls from people with sick loved ones, personal illness, stress, heartbreak, money, funny, change is strange. They got loved ones that they thought would get their stuff together have reverted back to the old them. I've had people that have told me all of the stuff that's going on, and it seems like everything that wasn't tied down, the devil has tried to use it against you. Usually, and the problem is some of us, I know y'all don't want to talk to this about this today, because we want to just think everything is all right and you are the only one going through problems. But the person next to you got some stuff that they have going on, And some stuff they won't put voice to because they've heard the old thing that if you talk to it, it gives it power. But if you don't get it away from you, you will never, y'all don't want to talk to me. You'll adjust to the problems and act like they're normal life happenstance. And then can I help us? Some of us, our worlds hadn't gone upside down. Some of us. It's just the stuff you know should work don't seem to be working like it used to. It seems like the mantra has been true in your life. It ain't one thing. It's another. People around you that know your mess, know your stuff, that your issues have been on their radar. They talked about you. They said whatever they were going to say. They done whatever they were going to do. They understand the hell that you're going through. And you don't understand that sometimes God sends you through a trial to put you on the testimony stand to bear witness that God is still good. See, some of us don't understand that some of the things that God sends us through, he just sends us through it so somebody else can see that they can make it through. Y'all don't want to talk to me. Is that some of us don't understand that God says, I will make you my witness. You can't be a witness if you wasn't there. You can't witness to me about something that you didn't see for yourself. I need two or three people that understand that hearsay is inadmissible. In a time in your life, you're going to have to understand. You're going to have to know him for yourself. I know he was mama's God. I know he was grandma's God. But every now and then, he sends you through some trouble and some tragedy to make you understand that I am still God and God all by myself. And in the middle of them looking at you, wondering how you making it, how do you keep going on, how do you keep letting everything roll off of you, why do you seem like you are not bothered by anything? The problem is they don't understand there ain't no quit. Amen. It's not that I don't want to. It's not that it didn't cross my mind. It's purely on the one simple thing. Baby, it ain't in me to quit. I've been through too much. I've seen too much. I understand that what I am and what I'm dealing with, I can't stay here long. Ain't no quit in me. We find Judges 8:4. We find Gideon. Is still traveling with his 300. Y'all don't forget the 300. His 300 he found back in chapter 7. He started collecting them in chapter 6. They got together and got counted in chapter 7. Chapter 7, he had 22,000 men. Y'all don't want to talk to me. And he watch this, the army he gathered with 22,000 men. It wasn't the enemy that tore it up. No. It was not that the enemy had invaded the camp. Mm-mm. God said, you got too many people with you. Yes, he did. Then he started giving them tests. And when God's test was over, he went from 22,000 to 300. And by the time we get out of chapter 7 into verse 4 of chapter 8, he's still with his 300 and they tired. But they still pursuing the enemy. How do you celebrate there ain't no quit? Hit me three things. I'm going to get out of y'all way. I promise you, this first Sunday of the year, I'm not going to be here long. First thing we see in this text is that you have to celebrate the relationships that remain. See, we meet Gideon after he's dismissed some people. And what we realize when Gideon has dismissed some people is that anybody that God lets you, let's give the benediction from your life ain't tied to your life. Anybody that can leave ain't needed for where I'm going. Gideon didn't go find the folks that left. and make sure they were all right. The same 300 that God gave him, he stood with who he had. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We spend too much time giving CPR to stuff God didn't kill. Quit calling first. Put the phone down and see if they call you. Quit checking on everybody. Because some people God has put out in the last chapter. And watch this. They're exhausted from victory. The 300 are tired because they've been winning. But the problem is, most of us struggle because we get tired chasing not the enemy out, but chasing folks we thought should have been with us. If I keep having to justify why we together, you can go where you want to. Y'all don't talk to me. Have you, watch this, y'all. Have you thanked God for the ones that held on for the ride? I know we live in a world that you redefine who you are every other day. You change up all of the stuff you got going on. You new month, new you. You take pictures with filters so much, you don't even look in mirrors no more. I come to bind the spirit of having to rebuild your circle every season. Somebody ought to be able to ride it out. No matter where we go. Watch this, y'all. I appreciate it because I went back and read his whole story. In chapter 6, Gideon wasn't a man that led the army. Mm-mm. He was actually a man that was from the lowest tribe. And in the lowest tribe, his family wasn't even respected. In the text, when God goes and talks to him, people stop reading and skip from that part of 6 all the way to 7. But if you read the text, he spends the rest of 6 saying, convince me that this really God. Y'all missed it. Because what we don't understand is he did all of his questioning before he started moving. We so busy trying to gather the crowd. We wait and don't get our doubts out of the way before we go get other people. And then we get mad that they doubting the same stuff we doubt. But if you get your relationship right, get your heart right, the people that's with you will see how you with God, and they'll start getting right. Because you right. Y'all missed it. He gathers 22,000 people. Y'all missed it. I said he was from the lowest tribe in Judah, in Israel. He gathers from a family that's one of the least respected families of the tribe. But God fixed his reputation because before he went out and started gathering people, he had some victories under his sleeve. What did he do? Read the text. Chapter 6, he goes out and kills and cuts down the altar of Baal. The people wake up in the morning, come out and say, who did that? Because we finna kill whoever did it. Bible doesn't say he volunteered the information. Just says that he He told on us when it was discovered that he did it. And he asked the question, so y'all going to kill me for cutting down the idol? And we are God's people? They changed his name, but didn't touch a hair on his head. Because God will fix your, y'all finna hear me, God will fix your reputation before he helps you build relationships. Some people aren't in your life just for a task. Some people are there to help you to your destiny. Don't be so quick to write people off, because you don't know what chapter of their story they're in. Because some of your defeats are tied to you dismissing some of the wrong people. But watch this, y'all. You better learn to appreciate the 300 you got. I had 22,000, but you couldn't win with 22,000. Better use what you got. Come here, Moses. I can't part no sea. I can't create a boat. It's a sea in the front of me, Pharaoh behind me. Talks to the Lord. God don't say go find a rock. Does not. Didn't say go plant a seed. Didn't do that. God asked him a question. What's in your hand? Because God always uses what you have left. So when the scales of life are balanced, you better learn to appreciate whatever you got left. See, there's a story in the Gospels of the Good Samaritan. But when you read the Good Samaritan, it's an amazing parable, because he gives a destination of a place. He says between Jericho and Jerusalem, and he fell among thieves. But the problem with that was the thieves beat him and left him half dead. Right. There's no value in beating me up. My clothes, I get it. Jewelry, I get it. You ever had the devil feel like he was taking extra? But watch this, y'all. By the end of the story, he's made whole. Some of us need to learn how to shout, thank, and praise God before your story is finished. I'm coming out with my hands up. I'm going to have them up in the middle. Y'all missed me. See, some of us are waiting for this thing to finish out well. But I'm appreciative that I got a God that'll hold me in the middle. I got to get that. First thing, the relationship remains. The second thing we see in this text as a celebration is that your range always increases. Mm-hmm. Bible says they were crossing the Jordan. They had just left another tribe and told them, thank you for helping us with the victory. We're going to keep on going because the enemy is ahead. You better learn to appreciate movement in your life. Because if you stay the same, sitting in the same place, doing the same thing, death, watch this, no matter how alive you are, sit still long enough and death will find you. The old folks had a saying, they would say they were sleeping in the very image of death. Why? Because there's no difference between you sleeping and you dead. Besides one, you can roll over, snore, get up from. But death is one. When you get up, it won't be on this side. So if death hadn't found you, I serve a God that will allow me to always increase. They're not chasing in a circle. Mm-mm. They're not running and got turned around. Mm-mm. They went from being conquered. I'm sorry, let me give the correct understanding of the text. They went from being jumped. Yeah. Yeah. See, some of y'all used to your enemy coming up against you one-on-one. That ain't what was happening. Everybody that didn't like them came together and was going to jump them. And while they were sleeping, God was talking to Gideon. How you know they were sleeping? Well, because when Gideon shows up with his 300, they don't have swords and shields. No, no, no. They got a lamp in one hand, a trumpet in the other. And their war cry is not all of my thought that I had, I can't say up here, because y'all really saved. They was quoting stuff that wasn't common for the battlefield. They didn't have a sword, but they said, by the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. They blew the trumpet and lit the light. And when the people that had gathered against them heard their war cry, they turned on each other. I'm sorry, let me slow it down. I understand I'm trying to paint the picture. The people that got together against them turned on each other when they heard them get together. And they started fighting each other to the point, watch this, that those that didn't kill themselves left and retreated. Some of the people of the other tribes went and gathered up the plunder from the armies that left. But because God told Gideon to go and get the people that came against you, Gideon is chasing them that's already retreating. Because if I let you get back, you might change your mind and come after me again. So I got to conquer everything that you go toward, because I need to get you. Because if I don't get you, you've already shown me. I need to free three people right now. You've already shown me you ain't got my best interest in heart. Come here real quick. You better stop ignoring red flags and signs of what people have clearly shown you. You better learn to walk in what you know. It might cost you some. It might cost you some sleep. It might cost you and get you to a point of exhaustion. But baby, I got to cut the head off this thing. I can't stay. And I'm, watch this, and I'm going to win. See, you better learn to celebrate the baby steps. See, some of y'all look for big things. I like this principle because it's one of my favorite principles in the entire world. It's called the baby step principle. You don't understand this until you've seen a baby take steps. And baby steps, they're babies when they start walking. They get off their knees, and you hold them up, and they wobble a little bit. And then they take a step or two. Then they fall down. But that ain't the shout. The shout is the people in the room that already can walk. Because they start shouting. Because you learned something you couldn't have done before. So the same baby gets up, take three steps, and they start shouting again. But after a little while, you put them on one side of the room. And you put somebody else on the other side of the room. And you say, come on. Come on here. You got it. You can do it. See, y'all better learn how to do that in the spirit for yourself. I know you ain't got it all together. I know you hadn't figured everything out. You better learn to start shouting over the baby step. I got to get out of here. You better learn to start thanking God. God, I made it for an hour. Thank you, God. It ain't been a good day, but God, 1 to 2, it was pretty good. I thank you that. Y'all better learn to thank God. God, I thank you for this little piece of check. If you thank you for giving me this little piece of one, because I know later on greater is coming. God, I thank you right now. I went on LinkedIn and they still on. God, I thank you right now for connections. You better learn to rub that computer screen and say, greater is coming. Greater is coming. I'm going to treat this little job like it's the job I want. I'm going to be on time now, Lord. I'm going to show you that I'm going to be on time so my new people know. Y'all better learn to shout about the little stuff. You better say, God, every day that I got bad news, I made it past it. You better learn to thank him that I outlived everything that I've ever come in contact with. I just want to thank you. Yeah. See, y'all got all of y'all stuff together. But some of us in here can honestly say, God, I thank you that no matter what my situation is, I'm still here. Yeah, I still shout sometimes about COVID. Y'all don't want to talk to me. I look around the room and y'all ain't 6 feet apart. And y'all, everybody ain't got on masks. But I thank God that we don't have to have them on right now. You better learn to thank God that wherever you are. Yeah. Yeah, you better act like you understand. I know y'all real saved and sanctified. Y'all always had it together. But back in the day when they was teaching kids how to eat, they would give you chicken. And when they gave the kids some chicken, they would, and then put it down. And an old person would lean over and say, baby, it's some more meat on that bone. Now pick that back up and finish that thing off. See, some of y'all do that with praise when God has brought you through some stuff. You just waved your hands, baby. That was a dance that you should have gave God for that thing. I don't know what it is that you're going through, but you ought to thank God that increase is in your destiny. Yeah, I would quit, but I can't. I don't know how to. Ain't no quitting me. I would quit, but I can't quit. Ain't no quitting me. You wondering why I'm still here, because there ain't no quitting me. I don't know how to quit. I would if I could, but I don't know how, so I can't. And I don't want to acquire the skill, because I am who I am. And God, all by himself, ain't no quit in me. Relationships remain. The range always increases. Third thing, I'm done, y'all, is that you have to stay relentless in your pursuit. Exhaustion isn't a reason to quit. It's a sign you've been working. Watch this, y'all. Every town they went to, they asked, have you seen them? Am I still on the right path? Am I still pursuing? Watch this, y'all. Exhaustion don't mean stop. It means you've been doing something. I'm tired of people being around me that's tired and ain't did nothing. You ask them what you do today. Nothing. Well, what you tired from? Oh, baby, let me pause for a second and just confront these people with small capacity. You better watch people around you that their capacity is already full when you get there. Oh, y'all don't talk to me. You can't have people with you that's worn out and ain't did nothing. You better do what God tells us to do in Malachi. You better try them. I'm finna free three people. Dreamers and go-getters, conversation are identical. Dreamers and go-getters, conversation identical. The only thing that changes the two is that a dreamer stops talking. A go-getter has a timeline. They're not saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do the other. And then they stop talking. They got dates on it. I'm going to have a new job by the end of January. Mm-hmm. I know where my car going to be at. I know what color it's going to be. I know the salesperson I'm going to go talk to. I'm waiting until Thursday. I'm going to go sit in his office, and I'm going to tell him what I want. I've already started paying off stuff to clear up some credit stuff so I can afford what I really want. Because if you're really a go-getter, if you really are pursuing something, if you really want it to happen, you make sacrifice. Y'all don't want to talk to me. You got to be willing to leave stuff behind to go after what you want. I can acknowledge that you exhausted. I know 24 beat the mess out of you. I know it was crazy in 24. I'm not saying be in denial. I'm saying it ain't enough reason to quit. Pause, rewind, come back again. I'm not saying that 24 didn't beat the mess out of you. I'm not saying you didn't get bad news, know some bad people, and do some bad stuff. But what I'm saying is, none of that is a reason to quit. I would, but ain't no quit in me. There's a story, man named Aunt Middleton. Aunt Middleton decides after he gets out of the army, he's going to go and climb Mount Everest. Aunt Middleton leaves his wife and kids. He spends 4 weeks away from his family training on the foot of the mountain to prepare his mind, his heart, his physical health for what he's about to go up against. And as he's down there, he's going up and down the camp every day for 4 weeks, training his body for what he's about to go up against. Then they cut off to a scene and says, over 1,000 people every year try to climb Mount Everest. Be prepared mentally, because after you reach such heights, some people that die, they leave them on the mountain. So you're going to walk past some people that started out but didn't make it. Mm-hmm. 2014, there was an avalanche on the mountain and 16 people died. Bodies never found. He's going up the mountain. There's four camps that you stop at going up the mountain. As he gets to camp four, he's 8,000 meters above the ground. Everything that could have went wrong has gone wrong. He's out of breath, can't feel his feet. He wants to quit. He gets to the summit, and the weather shifts. And as he's thinking to himself, I am the highest person in the world right now. The cameraman says, do you hear that? The weather has changed. We got to go. The cameraman, y'all don't want to hear me this. The cameraman turns around and starts leaving. He's still standing on the mountain. Cameraman goes around some people that's still trying to come up. But in between the cameraman passing and him turning around, the people that's behind him decide that they're not going to keep going because the weather is going to get bad. So now there's people between him and the cameraman. Y'all miss me. And he's standing there, and it's 3 hours that he has to wait on the trail of people behind him to get off the mountain to go back to the camp. And he's standing there and he's thinking to himself, I might die on this mountain. After 3 hours, he gets back to the camp and the man is interviewing him for the first time. This is my shout, y'all. I promise y'all, I'm done. He gets to the camp and his right eye is totally blind from being in the elements, negative 42 degrees outside. His right eye is swollen shut. His feet, he couldn't feel, didn't know if they were going to have to cut them off or it was going to remove or the blood flow would return to his feet. And the cameraman looks him in the face with a patch on his eye after waiting on all of these people to get off and get out of the way. He says, what was it about you that kept going? He looked him in the face and said, I've been shot at. I've had to carry dead people off of the battlefield. But the most fear I ever had was standing up on that mountain feeling like there was nothing I could do. Why did you keep going after they made you stop? He looked in the camera and gave me my sermon for the day. He said, I had to keep going because ain't no quit. And I'm done. I don't know what it is that you are dealing with, what it is that you have going on. I don't care what 25 throws at you, but you better take the little bit of quit that you got in your spirit and throw it out the way, because God can't deal with no coward soldier. And you better learn to celebrate no matter what it is that you're going through. See, it's easy to shout when everything is all right, but will you say thank you with tears in your eyes? Will you tell him, God, thank you for the victory, even when it feels like I'm losing. God, I thank you that it turned around. I might be tired, but God, thank you that I didn't let go. Y'all don't want to talk to me. I had my back up against the wall. Problems had me bound. Depression weighed me down, but you held me close. So I wouldn't. Y'all don't want to talk to me. That's why ain't no quitting me. I wouldn't let go. I cried. I complained, but God, I kept going. Anybody besides me in 2025 say I almost let go? I felt like I just couldn't take life anymore. Depression weighed me down. Problems. But God, you held me. So I wouldn't let go. You, God's mercy kept me. So I wouldn't let go. And I don't know who it is that I'm talking to today, but don't give up. Don't give out. God's still working on you. God still has victory for you. God still has a plan for you. Yeah, yeah. And you just need to tell the devil, so I'm here today, because God kept me. I'm alive today only because of his grace. God kept me. So I wouldn't. Doors of the church are open. He wouldn't let go. That's why ain't no quitting me, because my God ain't got no quit him. So God's mercy, it kept me. So I wouldn't. I wanted to. I thought about it, but something on the inside of me just kept me going. And I wouldn't.